This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry, America's missionary messenger of truth. So America, men, women, boys, and girls, gather around. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Zechariah, chapter 3, verse 3, where we left off last time. Zechariah, chapter 3, verse 3. In the Hebrew, Zechariah's name means remembered of Yahweh, YHVH, the correct pronunciation of the sacred name of the Lord, Yahweh. Now, this is good for you to know, because this means that Yahweh, the Lord God Almighty, remembers you. He remembers and thinks of you enough to have written you this letter in 410 BC, between 410 BC and 403 BC, because it tells you what's happening to you right now as we come to the very end of this age. We are now in the fifth trumpet, time of learning. It's coming to an end. At the sixth trumpet, the Antichrist and the fallen angels will come. He will pretend to be the Savior. That will be shortened. And the seventh trumpet will be when Jesus comes. So we are at the end. Now, we learned last week that at the end, it's happening right now, that God is sending out angels from heaven, from the spiritual realm, and he calls them scouts. And they are all around us. If you could see in the spirit, there it is. You could see them passing by. They are watching. They are not here to hurt you. They are to check out, to scout out God's elect. There are 7,000 elect, Romans 11, 1 Kings 19, that will not bow the knee to the Antichrist with open eyes to understand, chosen and called from before the foundation of the earth. So these scouts, these angels, are right now checking out to see if all of us who are the elect are in our place. Do you keep hearing me say, everybody take your place? That's not just something I say, because I'm aware that we each have to be in our place for the work we are to do. And we found that he calls his elect carpenters. A carpenter builds, and he hammers, and he nails the word in. And then he also called the carpenters firebrands, ministers of fire. Jesus says, I have a baptism with which to baptize you, the baptism of fire, the anointing of God is on the carpenters. Now, as we began chapter 3 last time, he took us to a scene in heaven to remind us of why we the elect are the firebrands, why the heavenly host is scouting us out to see if we're all ready for the end. And he showed us a man named Joshua with the angel of the Lord. Joshua in the Hebrew is Yeshua, which means Jesus. So it's our Lord Jesus, and the angel of the Lord is God the Father. And of course, he showed us that the devil was there resisting. Now, that's where we left off. Let's begin with verse 3.
Now, Joshua was clothed with filthy garments.
Now, Joshua, remember, is Yeshua, Jesus. Anytime it's translated in Joshua, it's Yeshua, and that is Jesus' name in the Hebrew. So here we look into heaven while you and I are being scouted out, while we each are in our place. And there's Jesus, and he's got on these dirty rags, and he's the Son of God. Isaiah says, our righteousness, your righteousness, is as filthy rags. So God reminds us that Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us. He who bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. And we learn in 1 John 2:2, and Romans 3:25, that Jesus is the propitiation for your sins by faith in his blood. What does propitiation mean in the Hebrew or the Greek? The atoning sacrifice. So right now, even now, Jesus is standing there with your dirty, filthy sins on himself. You understand? Right this minute. Now let's see what God does with that. We don't want Jesus to have dirty clothes, do we?
And stood before the angel.
That's the angel of the Lord. That's God the Father.
4, and he answered and spake unto them that stood before him.
Now the first he there is God the Father. And so he speaks to all of the heavenly host, angels and heavenly host round about right now in heaven, while you and I are here in our place as the carpenters, as the firebrands.
Say, take away the filthy garments.
Take them away. All right. Now, Jesus takes them from us. When you confess your sins, the first time, all of them, but Christians sin today. Maybe you sinned. Maybe it's something you did not do. Maybe it's a wrong attitude. Maybe you're not altogether dedicated. And so when you repent, he takes that on himself. But what does he do with it then? Then God the Father looks at him and says, you are the propitiation. You're the atoning sacrifice, my son. You are the Passover lamb without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. So since you took their sins, I accept your sacrifice, my son. And so God takes them, the Father takes them from Jesus, and Isaiah says he throws them into the sea of forgetfulness. Hallelujah. Amen. Mother Teresa says that then God puts up a sign, no fishing.
Amen. Amen.
And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquities to pass from thee.
I will accept your sacrifice, my son, and I will take them from you. They are blotted out. They do not exist. Do you understand when you have confessed that sin and truly repented and given it to Jesus, he gives it to the Father. Jesus is an advocate between us and the Father. He is our high priest. He intercedes for us. He asks forgiveness for us. Then God throws it into the sea. And if you bring it back, God says, it's not on your record. It's not here. Does not compute.
And I will clothe thee with change of raiment.
So my son, you're so pure and holy, you need to have a robe.
5, and I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head.
So God the Father says, this is my son, I'm so proud of him. Let's put a mitre upon his head. A mitre is a turban. Now, you've seen pictures of the Eastern kings, they wear turbans. Scott, I gave you a turban. You were one of our kings at Christmas time. That means a crown. So let's crown Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus as king. Got it? Now, but look, he took our sins away. The turban there also means a cap with a pointed top, the mitre, for a priest to wear, a priest of the tribe of Levi. Oh, so Jesus is not only our king, he is our high priest, as Romans 8 says, ever lives to make intercession for us. Now you say, well, I know that Jesus was of the tribe of Judah. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. Yes, through Mary's father, Heli, Luke will tell you this. But you see, there was no man involved in Mary's pregnancy. God, the Holy Spirit, impregnated her. So she had the seed of her parents, her father, within her. But where did the tribe of Levi come there? Okay, her father was of Judah. That's the king line. Mary was Elizabeth's cousin. And Elizabeth was married to Zechariah. Remember there in the priest, high priest? To be a high priest, you must be of the tribe of Levi. By the way, I'm the tribe of Levi. I fit the bill. I thought you'd like to know. And to be a priest, you had to do that. And if you married a priest, you had to be a full-blooded Levi. Mary and Elizabeth were cousins. Luke tells us that. So Mary's mother and Elizabeth's mother were sisters. So through Mary's mother, Jesus was of the tribe of Levi. He's our priest, ever living to make intercession for us, can get ask forgiveness for us, and he is our king through Mary's father, Heli. And there he stands, right now.
So they set a fair mitre upon his head.
So they did it.
And clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. 6. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying.
Now, in the English, the word protested there is a blatant mistake, because God the Father and God the Son never disagree about anything. Protested there in the Hebrew means testified or solemnly declared. Because you see, remember, Jesus says the Father and I are one, so they're not in disagreement. Now, God the Father is now going to take us in a scene back to the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, the world eon age, before any of us were in our flesh body. We were in a spiritual body. Remember, when you die, your spirit returns to God who gave it. You return because you were there before. So he takes us back there in Isaiah 14 when Satan had rebelled and brought sin into the equation. And it was then that this atoning sacrifice, Jesus, the Lamb of God, said, I will be the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the earth. He volunteered. So now God takes us back to that time before we came in through our mother's womb into a flesh body and before Jesus came and took himself a body. Now listen what God the Father tells Jesus. When you go, son, to pay the sacrifice, here's what I want you to do.
7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge.
In other words, my son, when I make you a body, and you come through the Virgin Mary, through those 33 years, I don't want you to take one step except you first hear me say, take the step. Don't say one word unless I first tell you, say it. If you'll read in the Gospels, Jesus says, I do always the things that please my Father. He says, I do always say the things I hear my Father say. I do always the things I see my Father do. He would stop, be still, and acknowledge the voice. Now, Jesus is the vine and you are the branch. You have this same power, Christian, because the Holy Spirit is your paraclete, your teacher. He'll tell you what to say, what not to say. There should not be one area of your life, not writing a check, not calling someone on the telephone, not eating a meal, not going out the door, not coming in, not getting in your car, not going to work, not doing anything, not turning on the TV, except, what shall I do? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Amen. Then thou shalt also judge my house.
In other words, then you can judge God's house as the many-membered body of Christ. And we do know that at the end of the millennium, Jesus will sit on the throne, and we shall all stand, every one of us, before the judgment seat of Christ.
And shall also keep my courts.
You'll also be the king. Now he's referring to the millennium time in Ezekiel 44 through 48. After Jesus returns and we all change into our spiritual bodies in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians 15:52, Jesus will walk among us right there as the Zadok, the elect, the carpenters, the firebrands, the ministers of fire teach throughout that disciplined time. That's a glorious teaching there. You want to read about that. And so he will be there right in the courts.
I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by.
Oh, who are these that stand by? Remember, Father took us in a scene, the first earth age, remember that? Who was standing by? Not too many of God's children. Because when Satan rebelled and said, I will be God, Isaiah 14, Revelation 12 says one-third of God's children follow the devil. They were the stars, my children of God, minus the flesh. But there was one little group of people. We were all in a spiritual body. Get that through your head. We were there, and there was a small group that fought for God and stood with Jesus. We did not leave him. We did not run away. We did not divorce him. We stayed. We stood by. The elect, the carpenters, the firebrand, the ministers of fire. I pray it's you. It is some of you.
8. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at.
Now he's talking about the carpenters. You know, I use this because this was in the first chapter of Zechariah, carpenters, elect, firebrands. Now he says the elect are men wondered at. The word men there in the manuscripts has no gender, so it can be male or female. Well, what in the world does that mean? It means the elect, the carpenters, the minister of fire, the firebrands, are to bring forth a sign. Now you say, is it a sign with words on it and a stick on it and we walk around holding it? No. Is it a sign you attach to an airplane and they fly it around? No. What is a sign? A sign is a seal. Remember in Revelation, God told the four angels, hold the end, don't blow the wind yet until every elect is sealed in his forehead with the truth. There are people predestined to be hear the truth. Some of you right now hearing it. And wait until they are sealed. This means that these men wondered at are to bring forth that seal of God, that truth of God that is sealed in their foreheads. 7,000 elect, Romans 11.
For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch.
Now in the Old Testament, Jesus was called the branch. In the New Testament, he's called the vine. And now you're the branch. And when you bring forth fruit, your children are called fruit, not fruitcakes.
9. For behold the stone that I have laid before Joshua. Upon one stone shall be 7 eyes.
Now remember, Joshua is Yeshua, Jesus. The stone is the stone which the builders rejected, the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, our immovable stone. The 7 eyes there reads in the Hebrew, 7 pairs of eyes. These are the 7,000 elect, 1 Kings 19, Romans 11, right now alive on planet Earth, who have their eyes to understand. See, it's all in the Bible about precious Donald Trump. We understand what God is doing with that precious man. If you only knew, you would pray for him. He is being so used. We understand. We see everything. We understand what's going on in the church. These are the 7,000 eyes. And we are sent for a seal, for a sign, to get the truth out. The seal, by the way, also in Revelation, there are 7 seals. And then that word seals, it means signs, in other words. We know the signs of the end. And you're hearing some of them now.
Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof.
Okay, in other words, I'm going to engrave and seal that truth in my elect, in my carpenters, in my ministers of fire, in my firebrands. In the book of Psalms, the titles are a sermon within themselves. We're studying that on Wednesday night. The Hebrew is just a gorgeous language. There's a word called miktam, and it means to be engraved as engraved in stone. And that's what he means. He says, these men and women, my elect, my carpenters, are people to be wondered at because the truth is sealed in their forehead, in their spirit, and they know it's the truth. When you have found the truth, you know it, and nobody can take it from you.
Saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day.
The iniquity is sin. What day is that? Revelation 1, the day of the Lord at the 7th trump when Jesus comes. How is he going to remove the sin of the land? We're praying for America. How is he going to get this sin out? Because when Jesus comes, he's going to burn the elements with fire. But elements doesn't mean to burn up the grass and the people. It means the rudiments, the false teaching. At the brightness of truth himself, the Lord Jesus, our King and our High Priest, all of the rudiments of lies will disintegrate.
10. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall you call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree.
Jesus is the vine and Israel is his fig tree. In that day, the day of the Lord, the millennium begins, and the Zadok, the carpenters, the elect, the ministers of fire, the firebrands, walk with God and teach 1,000 years in our spiritual bodies, and we walk with the vine, and we are the fig tree.
Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1. And the angel that talked with me came again and wakened me.
Now, Zechariah has been given visions from God. He has a series of visions for our end time. Now, all of these visions he's given us so far of the scalps and the myrtle tree and the carpenters and what we just heard, these are real. God gave them to him. But now he's going to give him a vision that is so real that it makes the others seem like a dream. Now, let me explain something. Most of everybody listening to me, you think it's real. Your home, your car, your body, your dog, your truck, your car, what you can see and touch and feel and smell. And you say, this is reality. I've got news for you. There is a whole spiritual world going on, and the kingdom is at hand. The spiritual world is real, and this is but a dream. So now, he's coming from one phase of dreams. We want to know more, right? To the deepest one of all. We'll experience this one.
As a man that is wakened out of his sleep.
As the mariner said to Jonah, awake, O sleeper.
And said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold.
Okay, now the candlestick here represents the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. The gold means gold of Ophir, pure truth. So here we have Jesus, the light of the world, pure truth. Got it?
With the bowl upon the top of it.
Now he's got a bowl on the top of the candlestick. The bowl is a reservoir, and it is filled with oil, the anointing oil. The oil of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the oil that gives light, that gives truth, that gives the word, that gives the seal unto the carpenter's spirits.
And is seven lamps thereon.
Now there are seven lights all around. We learned in Revelation 1, he talks about these candlesticks. The seven churches are symbolic of all of the Christian churches on round planet Earth. So this means there are supposedly churches who have light. But you see, these lamps need light, right? Well, what's he going to do about that? Where do you come in, carpenter?
And seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the tops thereof.
Now, inside this bowl, above Jesus, the bowl is the Holy Spirit with the oil, this is picture symbols, are these pipes. They are tubes, and they are going up. What is up above you? Air. They're going up into the air like a conduit, and these are the elect, the Zadok, the carpenters, the firebrands, the minister of fire with the seal of God, and the end of that pipe is called the lips of knowledge, carrying through the air like a scroll, like a tube, the word of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Four and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof.
Now, we're called in Isaiah 61, God calls people trees. So now we have two people standing beside Jesus. Olive represents the anointing oil. The oil, olive oil, is Elion, two of the names of God. Who are these? These are the two witnesses of Revelation chapter 11. And they are called the sons of oil. But in the manuscript, there is no gender. They could be a woman. It's so you see, God left that out. They're called the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord. Well, remember, the elect stood by the Lord. Got that? Okay. Now, these two anointed ones will appear on the scene. It does not mean they're not here now, but it means you will be aware of them a little before Antichrist comes. He's coming very soon at the sixth trump. Now, what these two anointed ones do, they have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And when anybody tries to hurt these two anointed ones, fire comes out of their mouth and devours the one that tried to devour them. But it doesn't mean literally. They're ministers of fire. They have the lips of knowledge. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is like fire shut up in your bones, and it goes out, and the truth just sets to naught, disintegrates the lies. The world hears the truth. Two anointed ones. the anointed one standing for Jesus. Now what they do, they pump this truth. They will be on the airwaves and they're saying this truth a little before Antichrist comes. Is anybody hearing the truth now? They're going to be hearing it for the 5 months. His time's been shortened to 5 months. Revelation 9, Mark 13. Through his time, and that those 7,000 elect with those tubes taking that word above through the air like a scroll to the world are going to be encouraged. But Satan's going to finally blow his cool. Remember, he's coming back as Christ. He's coming back as Savior. He's not cutting your heads off. Forget those movies. He's coming back to say peace and safety, cause craft to prosper. It'll be a big revival in the Christian church that's deceived. And he's going to finally blow his cool, because these two are obviously not going to be telling everybody that that's Jesus. Whatever they say, he doesn't tell us, but they're going to be teaching the truth. So the truth would let everybody know that the first one coming pretending to be Jesus is not Jesus. So the devil, Revelation 11, is going to blow his cool and kill them. They are going to die. So this means these two witnesses have a flesh body. Now, when you read Revelation 11, and many, many scholars and preachers feel that these two witnesses are Elijah, representing the law, and the prophets, and Moses, representing the law, or could be Enoch. We know that Elijah did not have to die. He was taken up into a whirlwind, translation, chariot of fire. And we know we saw Moses and Elijah in the Gospels on the Mount of Transfiguration. They were in their transfigured body. And Enoch was transfigured too, to be taken with God. Flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So all of these had to go into a spiritual body to be in heaven, seeing once our spirit returns to God. So if God would choose them, as everybody seems to think, he would have to then put them back into a flesh body. Now God can do anything he wants to. But I just wanted you to use that thing in your forehead. They are going to be in a flesh body, and they are going to be killed. They are going to lie in Jerusalem, the open arena for the whole world to see. The deceived Christians are going to give presents to each other. Hallelujah. These two troublemakers are gone. We just want to worship our Jesus, because, see, they think the first one coming in the sky is Jesus, because they've been taught a lie. But 3.5 days, these two witnesses begin to rise upon their feet. Hallelujah. And the Greek says there, that's Revelation 11, a great paralyzing fear comes on all the earth. The whole world will see. We have the technology. And boy, is everybody shaking in their boots. And then the seventh trump sounds. And Jesus comes. Hallelujah. The two witnesses arise from the dead. And that's the seventh trump. Jesus comes. Hallelujah. Did you enjoy that? Oh, and these are the times we will witness this. Praise the Lord. I hope you were blessed there. We'll begin right there next time. But right now it's time for Mystery Moment. Questions and answers to help you understand God's word. We just finished Joel. Joel chapter 2 said, blow the trumpet in Zion. So we obey. Questions and answers. Dear Sherry Trumpet, in Ezekiel chapter 6, round about verse 17, beginning with 13, the Lord told us, or Paul did, he told us to put on the whole armor so that we might be able to resist in the evil day and having done all to stand. And in 17, he told us to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I understand, Sherry, that's, you know, right, the Word of God, the Bible is the Word of God, but how do I do this? I don't know how to use that to chop the devil's head off. Please help me. Well, one thing you want to do, we want to learn how to do the Word. We're not hearers only, we're doers. When we come to something in the Bible, we stop and do it. Here's how you do it. Here's how you apply and take your sword. The word of God, just like Jesus did in the Gospel of Matthew. When Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The devil came and tempted him. And Jesus resisted the devil. Remember, the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And Jesus would say, it is written. And then Jesus would quote the Bible. He would quote Deuteronomy himself. And that's how Jesus got the victory. Now, you and I do the same thing. So let's apply it. Let's have a class right now. Let's just say, how many of you suffer from fear? Say amen.
Amen.
Okay, many of you out there in cyberless, people in here, we have fear. Okay, now let's just say that fear has come upon you. Now let's practice it. It is written.
It is written.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
God has not given me a spirit of fear.
God has not given me a spirit of fear.
But a power.
Of love.
Of a sound mind. Now, remember this, that Jesus told us in Luke 10:19, you Christian, Jesus says, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, over serpents and scorpions. That means devils and demons, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, Timothy tells us that the spirit of fear is a demon. So now what you say,
it is written.
In the name of Jesus, you spirit of fear, be gone. Go to the abyss and come, Prince of Peace. See, don't leave it empty. There you have it. That wasn't that easy. Good. Okay. Now let's just say that you lack. Maybe your money's been cut back because of all the layoffs and because of the current regime and everything. And so you lack. Now, your first inclination is, all of you, except this teacher, all of you stop giving so much. You say, oh, I must cut in. Now, of course, none of us are supposed to be foolish with our money. We're supposed to be good stewards. But many people just start cutting back. Oh, let me hold it. I got $12 left. Let me hold it. No. What does the Bible say? Okay, it is written.
In Jesus' name.
Give.
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 Yes.
And it what? What you gave shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over shall be given to your bosom. Let's just say I got a bill for $120. I got $12 in my bank account. You know what I do? I give the $12 to God's word. You say, that is foolish. No. The wisdom of the world is foolish. The foolishness of the world is the wisdom of the world is foolishness of God. In other words, no, you're not out of this kingdom. You go by, if you don't do the most of you say you love Jesus, you study your Bible, but when it comes to your bank account and your body and your family and your social activities, you live just like the world. You go right back to doing it that way. See, I can sit here and say this, and I've walked on the water all these years, and I've applied this, and I'm still standing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, so you got it? Okay, there you go. All right, we got that one. Let's say what else. Okay, let's say that there's something tormenting you. You know, the river Euphrates has been opened, Revelation tells us, and all the demons of hell are walking about bodily right now. And the devil sending them, and sometimes they come in people, but sometimes they come in person. Don't this God? Okay, let's say that demons are bothering you. Maybe you don't realize it. Maybe there's something tormenting you. Now we go back to Luke 10:19.
It is written.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus gives me all power.
Over serpents.
Over scorpions.
That's devils and demons. And nothing shall by any means hurt me. And it is written. In
Jesus' name.
Jesus said, say to this mountain, move.
And it shall move.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, so we say, in the mighty name of Jesus, you tormenting demon, move. Move away from me.
Move
to the abyss.
And
never return. And come, shield of faith about me.
Come,
shield of faith about me. See, one of those things you put on is the shield of faith. He encompasses you about as with a shield. A shield there means a cylinder. It's the wall of fire. He just plops it down like it's like a cage, but it's a good cage, the wall of fire about you, which protects you from all the fiery darts of the enemy. Have you ever played darts? Those little tiny darts? That's all Satan's got. That's the best he has to offer. He throws those darts, and here we are. We've got Mount St. Helens, the wall of fire about us, and Satan's little darts go zap and go right back on him. Oh, you do not know the power you have. So remember that. That's how you do it, whatever it is. Are you sick? It is written. In Jesus' name. With Jesus' stripes.
I am healed.
He sent his word. And healed me. Are you weak?
It is written.
In Jesus' name. He increases my strength. I run, I'm not weary. I walk, I do not faint. Okay, we did the word. I hope that helps you. Now, if you are lost, we want you to be saved. We want you to be with us and come and live with me in Father's house forevermore, right here on planet Earth when it's rejuvenated. If you're not sure you're saved, please pray this prayer with me and mean it with all your heart. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Raised Jesus from the dead.
Forgive my sins.
Forgive my sins.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
Let me be one of your firebrands.
Let me be one of your firebrands.
Here am I.
Here am I.
Send me.
Send me.
I will.
I will.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Now in a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my number. You might like to call and leave a message and tell me that you were saved. Right now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. In the mighty name and the power of Jesus, and on the basis of the victory of Jesus' blood, all of you, north, south, east, and west, under the sound of my voice, whoever's in any pain, I speak to the pain and I say, stop, pain be gone in the mighty name and the power of Jesus. Let the ease come. Let the comforter come in Jesus' name. Where there's a missing body part grow back, because God is all-powerful, omnipotent, the creator of heaven and earth. And let diseases flee. Let depression go. Flu, influenza be gone. Sinuses be open. Open up, pain in the head, go away in Jesus' name. Our flu and diseases and plagues be gone in Jesus' mighty name. Nasal congestion be gone. Lungs breathe, hearts, liver, bladders, bowels function like you're supposed to. Perfect circulation, perfect assimilation, perfect elimination, no overaction or inaction. Pick up your bed and walk. Arise, take up your bed and live and be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. He sent his word and healed you. Amen. Thank you, Father. We give him glory. Now, when you call, you might like to tell me that you were healed. Now, I am trying to get together here a day of repentance for America, and all of you who are quickened by this thought, I want you to contact me, Elect Connect, and let's have a day of repentance. That's the only hope for our country, according to 2 Chronicles 7:14, and two instructions there in Joel when we taught that. I need media help. I need some of the media to connect me to the entire United States of America, right here from my school. We can take it from there, and God will connect the elect, and we need to do that. We need to do it right away, because our country is gone, except we repent, except we make Jesus the Lord and the Bible our book. So Elect Connect, and let's have a day of repentance in America. I want to invite each one of you to my school each Sunday, 5 p.m., and each Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. We study the Word both times, and Wednesday we take off our gloves and we put on our armor and we fight, and we're pulling down strongholds. We're really being carpenters. We're tearing down and pulling them down. We're watching things move in this country because of our faithful prayers. God answers our prayers. Now, you know, you heard a lot of truth here tonight. Every time you come, you're going to hear truth. That's all I know. I've got the lips of truth here. And Donald Trump says, I'm a truth teller. And that's what you should be. But remember this about Yeshua Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. And John 17:17, Jesus says, thy word is truth. I love each one of you. God bless you and God keep you. And God use you mightily as a firebrand, a minister of fire, a carpenter, an elect, to increase his territory. And if God is willing, I'll see you next time.
been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
All I need, we already have it. All I need. Let it be, Jesus, the first name that I call. Let it be, Jesus, my song inside the storm. I'll never need another. For me, it's a living.
Let's go. You're listening to Brevard County's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM WMIE.
Make it all the way to you.
the sky where you can really fly high like an eagle. There's a time when you got to walk away out of the night into a brighter day. It's where the past, it is gone to stay. I cannot touch you.